On today's Compassion Radio.
I looked at the main doctor who comes from a country that's not at all Christian. And I looked at him and said, "Doctor, you've said this is the most complicated case you've ever dealt with, and I believe you. But so you know, I know there are at least 2,000 people a day praying for Lynn and praying for you. These people talking to God for us, that's incredible. Yeah. And nobody ever deserves that. That's just an amazing gift of love."
Hi, friends. Welcome to Compassion Radio. We're the radio ministry that gets inside the lives of people that live in a missional way. And for the past 2 days, we've been hearing how it's been done right. And there's nothing trite about it. In fact, the story that Daniel Platt has been sharing with us would be a nightmare if not for Jesus. Now, most of us have some experience with suffering. If not ourselves, then someone we love. It's one of the reasons people often mention when they step up to help with our many Compassion Radio projects. They know what it's like to be comforted, and they want to share in God's work of comforting others who suffer, bringing joy to those that have no hope that things will get better, and to stand with those who feel abandoned. In other words, to be Jesus with your skin on. So whatever you might be facing right now, or will face in the future, I sincerely hope that Daniel's story will bring you real encouragement for the struggle of letting someone go while hanging on to hope. In the previous two installments, we traveled with Daniel through his journey of faith and suffering as he cared for his wife, Lynn, as she bravely faced almost overwhelming medical challenges, which ended up in aggressive cancer, all while they struggled to raise three passionate and talented children, learn a few new languages and cultures, and share the gospel in some of Europe's most secular places. And on top of that, serve in their small but devoted church. They were doing everything right, and still, they couldn't escape the suffering. And friends, that is the big unasked question that's hanging over this interview. Interestingly, Daniel beautifully answers the why question with a big perspective shift that we all need to make. We'll start today with a short recap as Sandy asks Daniel how he helped prepare his children to say goodbye for now.
How important was that for your kids, that time that you had in the hospital with her?
I personally think it was immensely important. I don't think I'll know for a while.
Yes.
It's too early. But I know my youngest daughter, for the previous 2 weeks, could not spend more than about 20 minutes in her presence. Mm-hmm. It was just too hard. But she spent the whole 36 to 40 hours in her room next to her, just sleeping, holding her hand, singing, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I think the answer is somewhere else. Mm-hmm. I think the answer is God's people praying for us. I know the amount of people still praying for us today is incredible, and for the children. And maybe that's why they've been able to choose. Because if my children weren't choosing well, I don't know where I'd be. Mm. But in the case of my youngest daughter, we came back and went to church Sunday. And I found out that the leading elder, who had been to our house again to pray, God had moved his heart when he went home to pray for Dara, the youngest daughter, the whole week. Mm. He'd been praying for her. And God used the prayers of his people to heal those who were not physically sick but were spiritually struggling.
Mm. What a precious gift to know that, to know that there are godly people lifting you up and supporting you, coming alongside you in prayer, and just that's such strength.
It is. And I try to be very careful with numbers because that's who I am. But I looked at the main doctor one who comes from a country that's not at all Christian. And I looked at him and said, "Doctor, just so you know, you've said this is the most complicated case you've ever dealt with. And I believe you. But so you know, I know there are at least 2,000 people a day praying for Lynn and praying for you." And that's me being conservative. So these people talking to God for us, that's incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And nobody ever deserves that. That's just an amazing gift of love.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that.
Before we close, I would like you to brag on your wife a little bit. What is something that we should know about her that was God's special gift to you because of her?
I think there are very few people who have the depth of faith that she did. Her mother died when she was 9, so dealing with the reality of eternity was something she dealt with early. She had no doubt of her salvation, of God, and being that she was called to minister to him. an incredible perseverance and endurance to live through extra pain and physical handicap for 17 years. Mm. And she could speak clearly God's truth to anybody, and people trusted her and opened up to her.
Mm. Yeah, authority.
Yeah, that way, and a very sensitive listening to people, which may have come through her own having been wounded.
Real suffering can bring about real compassion if mm-hmm. if it's disciplined by the Spirit. It sounds like your wife was very much committed to letting Christ himself lead.
She was a safe place for many people, and she would work hard at being that safe place. And for me, coming from a multicultural background, I never expected I'd marry an American. Mm. But she was very good at understanding cross-cultural situations and how to apply herself there without changing who she was, but yet adapting to fit somewhere.
She's a kingdom citizen.
That's right. We are.
And your family's living that kingdom life out now, and you're letting your kids go as God leads them to the places he's called them to go. For those who are facing this kind of anticipated trauma to a family, and then I know there are plenty of people that are listening to this program right now that are facing some kind of an unknown, whether someone's going to be saved or not saved from the disease or the accident that has plagued them, and they're struggling. What's your best word as someone who is going through those stages, not just of grief, but of healing and joy at the same time? How would you encourage them right now?
First is, I'm still learning. I'd say probably three things. One is not at all spiritual. It sounds really probably rude. Is make sure your paperwork is done right. Your insurance, your wills, everything. We had to deal with that in three languages in three countries. I'd say we tried very hard to find a way to connect daily where we could to whatever level we could, because it's the people and the relationships that matter. The rest is nice, but it's fluff, you know.
Yeah.
And don't be afraid to take it to God. You may not feel like it. You may, like I said, you may not have the strength for more than 5 minutes. Take that 5 minutes and go to God then with what you have.
I think sometimes the enemy of our souls convinces us or tries to convince us that God doesn't have time for that, that it's not enough, or that there's too much other things going on, you know, to take that time. But I like what you said. If you only have 5 minutes, give that 5 minutes. Take it to him for that time. And I believe there is a level of peace that falls on us when we are willing to take our unbelief to God.
I told my kids, it says like a musician's going to practice their scales every day, whether they're playing well or not. A soccer player is going to do his running every day, whether he's doing well in training or playing or not. And you know, as Christians, we're going to go to God and we're going to talk to him. We're going to learn from him every day, because that's the whole foundation. If you don't have that, I don't know how you stand.
How are your kids living out that spiritual legacy from your wife?
Each one is different.
What's the best part of your wife that's in each of the kids?
I would say there are three things they're all doing. One is they've chosen to be committed to family relationship, including over their close friends and their activities. If it's needed, they'll do something for family. Secondly, they've chosen to be responsible in everyday life, because they had to care for her, and they know now she can't care for them there or the house. And the third one, at their own place in age and spiritual walk, even at their deepest struggle times, they are not throwing that away. They're going to say, what can I do as the next step? Even if taking two steps seems impossible, they'll take one step. And so I guess the perseverance might be the answer there, and the commitment to relationship.
In the last couple of minutes that we'll spend on this topic and on this story, let's talk about Daniel. How are you pursuing your relationship with God now, and how do you sense his presence there, and as one who understands literally what it means to go to God as the spouse to the spouseless, as the widower you are now? Is there truly a new kind of level or intimacy that happens with the Spirit of God because you are in that place that has the absence of somebody you love? Or is there something else going on in your spiritual walk that we should know about or understand better because you are living it?
I'm still really a learner on this. One of my best pastor friends said, in his case, I'm the first widower he's known. Mm. There's a lot more advice and input for widows, although I don't think there's a template from anybody. I have one other very spiritual person I know who's a widower, but he's not a believer. Mm. First thing is, I have to go to God everywhere, all the time. I pray all the time. And it's not that I'm more spiritual, it's normal now for everything because emergencies are happening every 5 minutes. You went to God every 5 minutes. Well, I go to him every 5 minutes about everything now. And that gives a lot of freedom. I told the kids we can have all kinds of big plans, but unless you do the beginning steps, it doesn't. So the basic steps at the beginning were try to be healthy physically and be healthy spiritually. Take time for God together as a family. And when it's not going well spiritually, tell each other that, and we can deal with it. We can be the first to ask forgiveness, the first to forgive. Otherwise, we can't have a relationship. So I'd say that's maybe the closest.
The thing that keeps jumping out to me about Daniel's story is his steadfast confidence in God's goodness and faithfulness. Daniel is rock solid in this year of grief because he knows God is. We'll be back to the interview in just a moment. Whether getting Bibles into closed countries, relief supplies into dangerous refugee camps, or providing training and theology books to barefoot pastors as they begin their ministry, these are all the kind of things that we love to share with you every day. And more importantly, they're the kind of things we like to do. You know, for over 78 years now, Compassion Radio listeners and supporters like you have absolutely been up to the task. Will you help us get ready for the next big faith challenges and opportunities of this year? Your gift today will provide the means for us to begin some new initiatives with our Bible and relief partners that reach farther than we've ever gone before. It begins with you and your brave investment in kingdom communication and kingdom action. Just this week, our strategic ministry partner for Bible placement, John Podiety, pled with me to come join him in the Middle East this spring. The church there is exploding among Muslim background believers. John wants the world to know what's really going on there, and he wants Compassion Radio to tell that story. And friends, I want to go. Wouldn't you? Every time we go to the front lines of faith, it inspires your faith and your giving to the Great Commission as much as it does ours. But I can't say yes to John until you step up and make it possible. It's our strong desire to be going deeper, to go farther, to be braver than we've ever been in this year of 2020, and to bring you the stories that you just won't hear anywhere else. I simply ask that you would keep giving so that we can give back to the world through our strategic ministry partners and to you with inspiring programming on this radio station and over the internet. Here's how. The first and best way to reach us is through our website, CompassionRadio.com. It's available 24/7. Our safe and secure order form there will get your gift to the places needed most, and we'll do it right away. You can also support us with a call during Pacific Time business hours at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. You can also text COMPASSION to 53445 to give right through your phone, no matter where you are. Of course, you can also put a stamp on an envelope and mail your gift to our Compassion Radio office, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, that's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. However you give, we'd love to hear more about why you believe in Compassion Radio. We so much value your messages and letters. And know this, your gift is deeply appreciated. Thank you for loving us in this way.
We can be the first to ask forgiveness, the first to forgive. Otherwise, we can't have a relationship. So I'd say that's maybe the closest. It is good to get some good people to help you. That needs to be second. But also it needs to be a few. If you get too many, it's just like pulling the whole universe. Find a couple people that are really trustworthy. Mm-hmm. And that's hard.
Yeah.
Because they may or may not be available at different times. And when you're sad, God knows it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the messages he gives you may not be the ones you want to hear.
Yeah. Give me an example of that.
Something's hard doesn't mean it's bad.
Yeah.
For a short period, I had the three people that I was closest to that I would talk to that became unavailable. Mm-hmm. And then right after Lynn went to the Vienna hospital, probably the person I'm closest to was my older sister, and she went through burnout and had to be basically unavailable for 6 months. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know how to handle that. So I just had to go to God about everything. About a month and a half ago, I knew God was trying to tell me something. And I couldn't see it through the fog. I could see the shape. Mm-hmm. So I went up to my room and like, Jacob, you sit there and wrestle with God. That's a man's picture. A woman is probably being nestled in God's arms. But I wrestled with God.
Men use words like grapple. Yeah.
Well, it was, because I didn't want, it's like you're following somebody in the mist, you can see them, but you don't want to lose track of them. I didn't want to miss it. So God told me, Daniel, you're going to live in brokenness, and it's going to be good. Hmm. Oh. You might use the word surrender where you are, but me, he told brokenness. And I say, oh, why?
Yeah.
First thing he says, you're not going to be strong enough to hurt your children.
Hmm.
That's good news, because I can be a pretty strong person. I don't want to hurt my kids. I have to be soft to lead them.
Even trying to overwhelm them with your intended kindness can be destructive.
That's right. He said, you're going to walk in brokenness because it'll be good for your kids. He said, then you won't get in the way of my will for your life. Wow. You know, I have a lot of ideas what God's will for my life might be, but his is probably better. The third one was, because then you won't be loving people with your love, then you can let my love love people. He told me that so clearly, and even though you could say, maybe that's not real good news, it was, because I knew what he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So even if it's hard, if you know what he wants, then you can go that way.
I think about our time studying the book of Acts over the past year, and Paul getting the very clear message from Ananias when he first came to Christ, you will suffer many trials, you will suffer. And as difficult a thing as that is to hear, it was God's clear message to Paul, and he pursued holiness constantly. That was his passionate pursuit, was the pursuit of holiness. And like you were saying, Daniel, even though that sounds like bad news, it's freeing in some ways, or in many ways, probably, because it's clear, it's clarity, that you know what's expected. Not maybe the details, mm-hmm. but this is where I'm going. This is the direction I'm going.
And in the same sense, he said, it's good.
It's good.
If I could just do a sidebar on that, how did you know that God was really speaking to you specifically those words?
I had been reading through a couple books I'd had. I'd been praying. And to me, I've had to deal with cases where we were broken before. We often associate being broken with being destroyed. Mm. God's not a destroyer. But sometimes people have had a bone that was broken and set badly, and it has to be rebroken to be set correctly and to heal.
In our own family.
Being broken may mean, short-term, you lose some friends that you trust. Mm. But the result may be you trust God more. Now, I'm not going to get into this, the negative equals the positive, sure. The yin-yang and the force is all equal. But I do think we are afraid of talking about the hard things or being willing to accept them when that's a reality in life. And I think that's usually where the good comes, is when we deal with the whole of life, including what seems hard.
Without a real intimacy with God himself, though, and really understanding that he is present and has not left us in the middle of these things, we sometimes get a weird perversion of that idea and decide that the bad really is good, that God wanted bad things to happen to us.
Never thought of that. Sorry, maybe I'm not smart enough. The first time our pastor came and talked to me, Lynn was in the hospital, he said, well, so you're angry at God. And I kind of looked at him. Oh, I haven't had the time to be angry at God. And it wasn't that we were more spiritual. We were dealing with other things. Right. What did God have for us next? What's the next step?
What I'm seeing is a maturity and a generosity of spirit in you that God has placed here as a gift, so that you're able to see those hard things as not as just being transactional, like God's using us to do this, or he's thinking this or that. You're not pre-guessing all God's motives. And some people try that. But there are people who get stuck in that place of assuming that God is cruel or that he's hard.
Or he's upset with you.
Yeah, and that your life story, what you've told us, Daniel, is that you have a wealth of understanding already that God is genuinely kind in suffering. Mm-hmm. And that sometimes suffering is truly his mercy. But it really isn't for us to sort it all out when it's happening.
Yeah, it's his story, it's his pencil, it's his paper, it's his time. As a matter of fact, he doesn't worry about time. And Job didn't have all his family return to life.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And I don't even know if Job knew his story, he'd be there to encourage others. So it's not my problem. I don't need the answers now, because I have God, and I have the relationship, and I have the joy I had with my wife, the joy on the Thanksgiving card over there on the wall. She could barely write and just said, I'm so thankful for my helper husband, Daniel. And one of my best friends was with her in the hospital. I said, I can't imagine anybody who could have loved or cared for me more. Well, I could find plenty of negatives in how I cared for her, but that's a gift from God. that anybody does those things. So there are too many gifts and too many goodnesses of God. But I want to be careful because I know people have, in some areas, suffered a lot more than me, especially when they've suffered at children and carries huge burdens and scars. So I don't go away one bit from the truth that God is good. But I say that with great hesitation and tenderness because
we know you
I
don't
can't
speak
imagine.
For everybody.
I know, but I want to be very careful. Some people have very deep long-term pain, and just be patient. Stick with God. He's there, even though it doesn't feel like it.
Your story is important, Daniel, and I thank you for sharing it. We look forward to seeing how God works through the next phases of this recovery and this resurrection of your family's joy as he calls you into a new unified calling as a family toward his purposes. You know, we just got through Christmas. We didn't even talk about how they handled the story of God's gift of life to them. And then you'll be facing the anniversary of the goodbye to your wife coming up Valentine's Day. So there are many more of these firsts for you to go through together. I've admired very much in the couple of days I spent with you how you are not coping. You're not coping with what happened. You are living through what's happening. I think there's a huge difference in that. This is not about human strength I'm seeing here. I'm seeing real love is grounded in the spirit of the living God. And thank you for sharing that with us and letting your kids minister to ours.
Hey, they minister to me, so I'm glad to share them.
Is there any last word you would want to add to this that we haven't covered yet?
There have been a lot of words. I'll just stop now.
Fair enough. Thanks again.
And once it was broken and spilled out, a fragrance filled all the like a prisoner released from his shackles, like a spirit set free from the tomb, broken and spilled out, just for love of you, Jesus. My most precious treasure, lavished on thee, broken and spilled out, and poured at your feet.
My thanks today to Daniel Paulette of Transworld Radio for this moving portrayal of a faithful marriage put to the test and found to be pure gold.
Lord, you were spilled out and used for me.
We can't do this work without you, and we can't introduce you to the inspiring stories of the kingdom if you don't send us. Simply go to our website, CompassionRadio.com. Our toll-free number is manned during business hours Pacific time at 1-800-868-2478. If you get voicemail, just leave a full message and we will call you back as soon as the office is open. You can also write us and send your gift by mail to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. I'm Bram Floria. Join us for the next Compassion Radio or online at CompassionRadio.com. God bless you, friends.